Welcome back to another Q&A for Grow Quickly to Range, the podcast of me, Sarah Raven, and Josie Lewis, our head gardener, is going to help me with all the horticultural questions and help with the answers. So for March, we're going to kick off with a question, which, what are the best plants for pots? It's quite a huge question.
We like this question. There's so many answers.
Very open-ended.
Yes.
You start, Josie.
So best plants for pots, I would always tend towards dahlias because you're going to have months of flower. We talked in February about the filler, the thriller and the spiller. So the dahlia would be my thriller. So let's go with Sarah Raven. That's a good dahlia for a pot. And fill it in with Panicum Frosted Explosion or Sparkling Fountain. And then, I'd put maybe a rhodochiton, actually, as a climber. So you've got the upward pillar and also let it spill over the edge. So you've got it doing two things. So train some up, let some spill, and then you've got a lovely three-pot combination. And any dahlias for pots, really, would be always my first choice. What about you?
Well, I'm going to trial fields with you or with Tom Stimson, for instance, who's head of horticulture. What I suppose I'm looking for when I'm selecting for our container ideas is something that isn't much more than 90 centimetres. I don't really know why I've settled on that, but it just seems to me that with a little bit of quite light staking with perhaps some silver birch or even canes and twine, that is going to be okay for a decent sized pot. Obviously not for a small table centre pot. But yeah, I reckon you don't want to go much taller than that. Otherwise, it just looks a bit weird and a bit top heavy. And then, oh gosh, you know, for a small table centre pot or a line along a window ledge or down the middle of a table or whatever, I mean, there are so many fabulous things, but you've got to take something that is pretty tough and drought tolerant. So it's really got, because they dry out so quickly and they've got very little soil below their roots and so very little moisture or nutrition. And I mean, there are two or three or perhaps four things that I can immediately think of that would be fabulous for any size pot as a living table centre. And I think Erigeron Kavinskianus is my absolute number one. Very easy to grow from seed, unbelievably easy to look after, unbelievably tolerant of very extreme temperature fluctuations, so very good for climate change. And then the others are the Euphorbia Diamond Frosts, the compact container euphorbias that I think originate in the Canary Islands. And they are, again, very, very drought tolerant, very long performing.
Yeah, I'd add verbenas to that. They're fabulous, aren't they, in pots like Verbena Sissinghurst. And there's so many new bred ones out there that there's a huge choice now, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I agree. And yeah, I mean, so for big pots, we both reckon dahlias and the things that you mix with them. And for smaller pots, we've given you quite a selection there of different possibilities. So the next question is, are there any dahlias you'd recommend growing from seed? So for me, there is one and one only that I really love from seed. And over the years here, we've trialled many different varieties from seed. But definitely Bishop's Children is my number one and only dahlia that I would grow every year from seed. It then forms decent-sized tubers, so you can store it from one year to the next. And we've had some Dahlia Bishop's Children here that we grew from seed 10 or 12 years ago that we've moved around the garden. If they're in a pot, they do need to be lifted and brought inside, whereas in the ground, we just leave them where they are. But absolutely cracking good value in the sort of stained glass colours, so from orange to scarlet to yellow ochre. You get the odd purple and magenta, but those are the sort of main colours, aren't they? And they're singles, so they're brilliant for pollinators.
And yet I think what a lot of people don't realise is that they will flower in their first year. So they go from seed to tuber forming and flowering within a few months. So it's a fabulous way to get a lot of dahlias in your garden. And of course, because they're open pollinated, you never know exactly what colours you're going to get. So from tubers, you know exactly what you're going to get. From seed, you don't know what you're going to get. There will be, you know, within a colour range, like you say, the Bishop's Children come within a colour range. So, yeah, really fun to grow.
Yeah, really, really good value for a long, long period of time.
Yeah.
Great. So the next question is, what are the best plants for shade? So do you want to name maybe three, Josie, and then I'll add another three?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so shade, I'm thinking about what we have here planted on the north side of our building. So Saka Coco would always be my first choice. Highly scented in the depths of winter, just when you need something. It's just a fabulous plant. We grow Saka Coco purple stem here, which is 1.2 metres, something like that. So quite a tall growing one. That's so worthwhile. And then I'd have hydrangeas. I'd always have hydrangeas, whether in a, in a pot or in the ground. I mean, you get such a long season of interest. So many varieties to choose from. Yeah.
What's your favourite, Josie?
Oh, hydrangea limelight, I would think. Yeah, the beautiful lime panicles. Really nice.
Yeah. Josie and I divide on my next favourite, which is one called Incredible, which is a rather terrible name. Josie doesn't like them because she thinks they're rather vulgarly large, but I'm so fond of them because I have them right next to the sink in our kitchen where we do the washing up. And they reach to the middle of the window frame, and they're exactly the size of human head. And when you have a light wind here, they're bobbing up and down. And they just make me think I've got a visitor coming. It's really funny. It keeps catching my eye as I'm doing the washing up. Anyway, that's not why I'm fond of them. But, I mean, the scale of them is quite spectacular. And, they just go on for ages. But, yeah, I agree. Sorry, and I interrupted, Josie. You had your third one.
I think I'd go for ferns, really. You know, they'll fill any space. You can have evergreens, deciduous ferns, whatever you like. I know people think of them as quite boring, but I think they're a real workhorse, and a garden wouldn't be a garden without a fern in it. So definitely a fan of those.
Very good. And I think my three would be the acanthus, which is an incredible duo called Rue Leden, like rue as in street in French, Leden, L-E-D-A-N. And we have it here on the north face of the barn. No, not the barn, the school, sorry. And I just love it because it doesn't get mildew, which the sun-loving ones do. It does run, but not as much as the sun-loving ones. And it thrives in really quite deep shade, including flowering happily. And so for me, it's very spectacular with those great, huge, almost sort of like peacock-like plumes that are the flowers. So that would be an absolute must for me in any shady garden. The next lot are the annuals, and I'm crazy about the Nicotiana, particularly Sylvestris and Grandiflora for shade. They really tolerate shade, and as an annual, that's so unusual. And with Nicotiana Grandiflora, it's incredibly scented at dusk and dawn, so that adds another real, real benefit. And actually, the Saka Coco Josie mentioned, when it's all around the car park here on the north side, when you get out of your car any time between January and March, you honestly are in perfume heaven. It's absolutely delicious. So perfume for shade plants is, I think, another real value. And so I'd have to also add, of course, I want to add more and more now, but I'd have to add a Daphne, which thrive in dapple shade, not deep shade, but one of those February flowering Daphnes like Adora aurea marginata. And I've definitely grown, I mean, some people say they've got to be in full sun. Well, I've definitely had success growing mine in dappled shade. So that would be my third. But I've got to have a fourth because I'm a cheat, which is a half hardy, so a tender perennial pelargonium. I'm crazy about pelargonium tormentosum.
Oh, and it's got
these great felted leaves. Yeah. And we use that in almost all our shade pots here against the north face of the barn. Smells unbelievably delicious, a mix of blackcurrants and peppermint. And yeah, it's just amazing, but it's not hardy, so that obviously has to come in for the winter.
Oh, can I have a fourth then? So I'd have Plectranthus.
Plectranthus, go on then.
Which we have in all our pots, but again, not hardy. You have to bring it in or take cuttings. We just take a mass of cuttings in autumn.
Yeah.
But what a fabulous foliage plant. So yeah, definitely a vote for that.
You've got us really going on shade plants now. So we'll probably have to do a whole episode on our favourite shade plants as well as our favourite long-performing one.